Just the usual. I was having lunch and watching Netflix because that is mandatory background noise when you live alone, right? But halfway through, I had to pause. Watching this documentary, I couldn't swallow my food. It just felt so much like choking. The visuals on my laptop screen from the documentary I was watching, they were just so painful, I had to pause. Hey everyone, my name is Pratyusha Parkala and welcome to my podcast Prana Cafe. Prana literally means life, and through this podcast we are talking a lot of optimism and hope around sustainability, around climate change, and figuring out what is it that you and I can do in our daily lives to create a positive difference. And this week we are talking about either the impact or are we ignoring the documentaries that are flooding us so much. So let's dive right into this week's episode. Netflix reports that 117.58 million subscribers watch 140 million hours of content on average per day. So if you divide the number of people by total viewing hours, you will get about 1 hour 11 minutes. That is 71 minutes of average user spends each day on Netflix. I know that's a lot of numbers, but just know that I've not even accounted for other OTT platforms, YouTube, social media, etc. Think about your phone apps. Think about Instagram or general phone settings. You'll see the number of hours spent on phone each day. It could be an average of 1 hour, at least going up to 2 hours and beyond of viewing content. I was just wondering, how many of those videos are we actually watching some quality content? This year, 2020, with all the lockdown and restrictions, going to cinema theaters isn't real anymore, but still, the content that we are viewing and consuming is a lot more, right? Of course, we all need a break, we need to switch off our minds, tune out of the day's work, but it can't possibly be all entertainment. And apart from the gripping web series, there have been some really brilliant documentaries too. And I was just wondering, how much of time do any one of us spend on watching those and learning about things that are going on around us and that actually add value to our lives and just not as a way of killing time, right? The latest in this is Sir David Attenborough's A Life on Our Planet. Forget the whole series. Even if you watch the trailer, you will have that one moment of silence, not knowing what to say or how to react. Through this episode, I'm going to refer to some of the documentaries that I've watched, including A Life on Our Planet. But apart from that, I want to summarize and tell you what I have taken away from watching all this content. The first is, what's different now than any time before in the billions of years that the Earth lived? There were 5 mass extinctions before this. That means the whole life on the planet, it got wiped out, and then new life had to begin. But they were all natural occurrences. But what is happening now is called Anthropocene, where the air, the soil, the water, other species are being altered at a great rate, and this is just being done by humans alone. And this could possibly lead to a 6th mass extinction. Imagine the whole world as we know it, including us, being wiped out from Earth. It is about realizing that the world is not infinite. Sometimes you look up at the blue sky, you look up at the white fluffy clouds, and you think, oh my God, the sky is so endless and limitless. But you should know, this blue sky, which is called the atmosphere, is just a thin blanket around the Earth. And beyond that, there is no way we could survive. It is just black, endless space. And that is endless. Just because we can cage the lions or kill the whales and pretty much find a way to cure all the diseases, we've become unstoppable. Our numbers have grown to billions and we pretty much see the impact of it everywhere. And in this documentary, A Life on Our Planet, I was just saying, Sir David talks about how we absolutely need the biodiversity on Earth. The bird, the fish, the tree, and the animal. But the way we are living and consuming things, it is threatening that very biodiversity. Imagine, take the example of a jungle. It has hundreds of varieties of trees in it. They live and grow happily. One of it is good for purifying the air. Another one does an excellent job of recharging the groundwater. Now, one gives amazing food for the animals and the birds. This is all happening in the forest, and one may be giving shelter to other smaller plants. But now, acres of forest is being destroyed every single second. And why are they doing that? One is, of course, for the wood, but apart from that, mainly for creating space for agricultural plants, say soy, which is animal feed, or palm plants, that is for palm oil, then that puts an imbalance in the system. Imagine, instead of a well-balanced diet of fruit, vegetable, carbs, protein, you're asked to eat the exact same dish every single day. What will happen to your body? First of all, you'll just get bored, but eventually you will start falling sick. Well, the planet is falling sick now. Everything on the planet seems to be melting or burning or rising or parched. So the things we do cannot be unsustainable to a point where a whole ecosystem collapses. When we talk about globalization and how our jobs, lifestyle, industries around the world are connected, you make a different part of the phone in one country and assemble it in another place, package it in another country. It surely helps to know that the impact we have on climate, that is also global. This is one of the major things I realized when I was in Antarctica. In Antarctica, no human lives. There are no factories, there are no cars and bikes. And yet, you see that that's where the pollution is accumulating and the ice is melting. This is the climate change globalization that we fail to acknowledge. We are all connected. We are all in this together. Just like every species has a role to play in the food chain. Think of the whale, the blue whale, which is the largest animal in the world. An animal that large will require tons of food every day, right? What do you think a whale eats? Does it eat smaller whales, maybe fish or plants? What? If I have to give you the answer, it mainly eats something called krill. Now, what is krill? It is so tiny, it is small shrimp-like animals that grow to about 6 centimeters. Imagine the largest creature on the planet is eating something as small as 6 centimeters. These tiny animals, they are found all over the Earth's oceans and they are swimming in like massive numbers. Sometimes like 30,000 krill swim together. And a blue whale can eat about 3,500 kgs of krill each day. Imagine 3,500 kgs, okay? So basically a whale needs a lot of krill to survive. But what happens when there is a human intervention of overfishing, the industrial fishing? Thousands, lakhs of krill are removed from the ocean in a matter of minutes. And then the blue whale, that has to go hungry. All right, I'll give you another news item from just 24 hours ago. It's the 23rd of October when I am recording this episode. You know that now I'm in the UK and it's quite cold and dark here already. Days are becoming shorter, temperature is about 5 to 7 degrees. So imagine, as I keep going further up north, as you move towards the poles, it will obviously get colder. But despite that, for the first time since records began, the main nursery of Arctic ice in Siberia, that has not yet started freezing this late in October. That means in all the previous years and decades, by now, the Arctic, North Pole, would be frozen for winter. But since the rest of the Earth is heating up, the oceans are warm and Arctic, it's unable to freeze. Like a 1 to 2 degree temperature difference might not seem like a big deal with us. But the precision with which the Earth systems work, it is a big deal. So, as I always like to ask, what is it that we can do? As a single, powerful, committed, strong individual, what is it that we can do? Of course, there are scientists who are finding solutions. Some businesses are actually making more green choices. But as consumers, if we don't embrace those changes every day, then what's the point? Also, you can start firstly by talking, later by pressurizing your local authority or building people to have smart water management practices, like using grey water to recharge the groundwater, having rainwater harvesting pits. Solutions depend on the scale that you're living, right? Like if you're in a big society, you can even have a huge water recycling unit. Another thing is, when we find ourselves in a tricky situation, human mind is built in a way that you would do whatever possible to find a solution. Like if someone around you has a medical emergency or some other deadline to meet, you will find ways to find a solution, right? So right now, climate change is a sticky situation. So start applying your unique talent to be a part of the solution and be that torchbearer. What is it that I can do today? That should be your question. And then as a consumer, sometimes we could be super loyal to a brand and use it for years. But what if they still use a lot of resources for manufacturing or a lot of plastic for packaging? Next time, turn that bottle around where they say, contact us, talk to us, and talk to them, nudge them to be better. You'd be surprised as to how much a good brand actually values what their customers have to say. And then using your letters and representations to your local authority, vote for people who make climate action a priority. I know back in India where I come from, most of us don't even know who the heads of our local constituency are. Maybe it is time to change that. Unless we are vocal about these things, about the things that matter to us, about our priorities, landlocked cities with rock structures and no rivers, and after monsoon has passed, will not stop getting flooded. In another new Netflix documentary called Brave Blue World about water crisis, the famous actor Matt Damon says, "How lucky are we that we are able to solve this crisis?" So it is pretty hopeful, and we still have a chance to survive. Imagine how huge and unmanageable the situation might become 100 years from now. Today, 23rd October is Sustainability Day. Tomorrow, 24th October, is International or Global Day of Climate Action. These days are there for a reason, to bring attention to matters that are important. Now think of your birthday, the day you were born. You celebrate it every single year, right? And on that day, you get extra attention, but doesn't mean you want your loved ones to forget you on the rest of the days. Similarly, you need to give special focus to environment and sustainability on these days, but continue doing your little bit for climate action every single day. Imagine your action linking up with thousands of others around the globe. If there was ever a time for you to get involved, it is right now. On Season 2, Episode 6 of the Prana Cafe podcast, I am quoting Neville Shute, an English novelist and aeronautical engineer, who said, "It is not the end of the world at all. It's only the end of us. The world will go on just the same. Only we shan't be in it. I dare say it'll get along all right without us." Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Prana Cafe podcast. I will be sure to mention the names of a few documentaries that I find are very, very informative, and there is so much we can learn from them. Thank you so much for your time. And if you have any messages, any feedback, any suggestions, thoughts, best practices, don't forget to message me on any of my social media handles, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I am available as Prathyusha, CFA18, that is PRATHYUSHA CFA18, and you can find this episode of the Prana Cafe podcast across various platforms: anchor.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Do listen to it, share it with other people who might be in a position to create a difference and are willing to learn and change. In fact, that's all of us. But anyway, do take good care of yourself, and I'll see you very, very soon. Bye bye.